day when our focus is remembering. Remember those who were here in the past, and many of those did. Buy a songbook out of which perhaps you just sang. Many of those dear, dear folk, we get to remember because they were part of us. Some of them are still here. Some have gone on. Some God took home. Some God took away from us to other places, but still a part of us, very real. And you're here today, and therefore you are of us, and we appreciate you for that presence. We have visitors. We love you for being here. You're helping us praise a God who so deserves, it is so appropriate that he be remembered. And that's what we're talking about. Jim talked about that. Dan, in his prayer, repeatedly said, acknowledged, reminded us that we want you remembered, God. We're here for that purpose. We don't want you forgotten. We live in a world where everything that comes down the pike, almost, especially as it comes across some of the communication means to us, would urge, invite, influence, persuade, if possible, us. Just forget God. Just forget him. And that is not a new thing. It's been going on the planet for a long time. Satan, by various means, has succeeded in that very way. We run across that so often. We run across it in the study of the Old Testament. People forgot God. And went on living their lives apart and set up something in his place even. And perhaps that's the worst thing of all one could do, is just forget God. In my mature years, more mature, I find myself traveling down off into memory land often, especially if I get a little time, and I've had a little over the last 2 weeks. There's so little you can do when these bugs get a hold of you and you try to get up and do something and all you want to do is fall on the floor or in a chair someplace. But you do have time on your hands to reflect, to remember. And I've done some of that. I've enjoyed that part. Of being sick, that's my one thing I have enjoyed. Remembering old days when my mom and dad set the parameters, limits, the particulars of my life. Just, they set them. They had a hard time with me, but they set them anyway, and I tried my best to stay within some close proximity of those parameters to where I was supposed to be, do, go, be. I didn't do that well, and when I didn't do that well, I paid the price, and that's the way it should be. But they planned out life for me, and I love to go back and live those old days. Just remember them. I really find myself fortunate, because I've mentioned this several times, maybe everybody's this way. I don't know. I think in pictures, and they're not just kind of blurry, filmy. I see reality. I see image. I see moving scenes from time past. Clearly, I think it's very clearly, clearer than dreams. I have dreams that are all kind of foggy stuff. I see in my memory far better than that. I see old farm country working. Some memories there I don't spend a lot of time on in 100 plus degree South Georgia temperature. But I still remember it fondly. I remember the images of the old fields that we plowed and grew and harvested, working there, playing there, all the old games. I could go on forever. My voice probably won't let me. I've notified about, I don't know, 5 or 6 people that if I get up here and start coughing and can't go, you just get up and take over, because my voice could peg out. It does tend to do that sometimes. Steve got me some water up here. He made sure he labeled that Earl's water. Nobody else ought to touch that water if I touched it. I love remembering things from the past. Exploring. Those old scenes are still there. I can see them as clear as anything. out through, I probably traveled beyond the parameter limits that were set for me, a good 7 to 8 miles from where our house was, just out through old country, farm country, forest, cypress ponds. We had one cypress pond that was, I don't know how many acres was in the thing. It probably had a, it traveled, it went, it was over a mile wide. And I went all around that pond. My mom would have got all over me if she'd known about all. She knew I went there probably, but I think she just tuned out what Earl's probably doing, because she'd have worried herself to death, because it was infested with rattlesnakes, cottonmouth moccasins, all kind of vermin that could do you harm. But I, you know, as a kid, you just don't have any caution. Butch was there anyway, my old dog. I can still see old Butch. He's snug out everything. And I just wondered, and I love that. And I love going back and seeing that again in my mind. Love seeing Mom. Cooking our food on that old wood stove, that same 100 plus degree temperature. It had a wood firebox in it. Can you imagine cooking in that scene? And she cooked like you wouldn't believe. She could make a chicken and dressing that was just out of this world. That's what you call stuffing up here, but it was nothing. You never stuff this stuff anywhere. It was just in like a big metal casserole pan. You could smell it cooking. She put all those little things she grew out in the garden with her old kind of halfway stooped back with a hoe in her hand, because she had to have the right components for what she cooked. And I see those, and she had me out there when she could get me out there helping her. I see those scenes. They just ought not to be forgotten. So much love in them. Washing my clothes. Clothes of my three sisters and little brother. Dad's old dirty stuff. Old days. I wish I could return. I'd like to go back there and find the same people and the same places to go adventure and live and create memories. Can't be done. I go back. The last time I was down there, I went down there, as you know, for a few weeks ago to conduct the funeral for one of my dearest aunts of my whole life. And I traveled out in this same country in the car and looked and got out and walked a little bit with my back. I couldn't walk very far anymore, but I got out and lived a little, just re-experienced it. Don't forget what is precious. Back in the old days when I spent time with Uncle Easy, you've heard about Uncle Easy over the years. I don't think there's ever been another Uncle Easy, never will be. Character indeed, but I love the old guy. Uncle Carl Willmaker. I don't think I've talked about him much. A little here and there, not much. You don't talk about Uncle Carl much because Uncle Carl had problems. He was a truck driver. He drove a big rig truck, hauling, sometimes he hauled pine logs for Langdale Enterprises. He hauled other things, and he had some problems. But I love the old guy. He was easy to love. He just had a big problem with alcohol. And I had some experiences there that my parents would not have approved with him, where he hauled me. He knew where to get it, and it wasn't even legal where he got it. But he would take me to the baseball games. So many things that can just be remembered so well. Even here, I mean, even we still do it. Jim mentioned it already. The names in those songbooks. People right here. Blessed history from the time past. When I was thinking about trying to do this sermon about remembering, so many, I don't have time to do it. I didn't know if I'd have enough voice anyway. I have scenes where you're sitting that if you looked up like that,
you'd see the timbers when this building was being built. These timbers, these beams that go across, that at least at one time was all you'd see when you looked up there. The sky was above that. History. God blessing us then. Creating a place for what's happening here now. All around us was scenes of building. I went up to the top of this hill and took photographs. I thought I'd bring them out. You don't have time for all that. Things where we're blessed by God that need to be not forgotten, gone away, and get caught up in this present world where Satan's doing everything he can. Block out that good memory. Block out God. Block out all the ways you're blessed by God. How about it shows he loves you. Block all that out so when you come together to worship, you'll do what somebody mentioned today. Just come here, check off. I came to church and got... No, that isn't worship. I came here that God would be remembered. Thankfully, lovingly, as though he's someone to me. I cherish. That's why we came. The consciousness of our blessed history. God so wants to retain in us. It means so much to him. Don't forget. Jeremiah chapter 18, book of Jeremiah. He wasn't called the weeping prophet for nothing. He weeps through the whole book. And his weeping expresses the sadness, the heartbreak, the emotional trauma of God over a people who just were bent on going their own way and forgetting God. My people, chapter 18, verse 15. I don't have slides. You're going to have to just listen. If you have a Bible, open them up. Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 15. My people, this is your God talking. May it be that he's not talking about you and me. My people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols. They've replaced him so they can forget him. Idols that make them stumble in their ways and stumble off the ancient paths. I had paths for them. They just left those paths behind. They forgot me. They make them walk in bypaths on roads not built up. There's an image for you. God said, I've laid out a path for you. It's like a path that I want you to walk on where the blessings are. But no, you walk off to the bypaths. You walk off where the danger is, where you're going to get lost, where you're going to be harmed. And the roads are not even built up, but you go there anyway just to get away from me. Their land, God says, will be laid waste. It'll become an object of lasting scorn. God is not going to react well to being forgotten. All who pass by they'll be appalled when they see what you guys have done. And they'll shake their heads. They'll say, wow, how could their people walk away from such a good God? But they did, and they'll be appalled. And they'll shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. When you love so much, when the people you love work at forgetting you, it can create a negative energy, and it did within God. And then he says some lines that I never want to be true about me or you. I will turn my back to them and not my face in the day of their trouble. Now that's God reacting to being deliberately forgotten when he should not have been. What a God we have. Deserves so much better than Earl has given him. During so many days, time passed. Someone has written, I wrote this quote down, I forget the book now, might have been, I don't know who it was. The book of Jeremiah is a study of a blessed people who had forgotten their God
and who had forgotten the priceless, blessed history he had provided them as his beloved people. They had provided him a history where he was there. As we said in class today, he didn't stay way off. He came near. He came near even to the time of Abraham in terms of his close proximity there. But then in the time of Moses, he just came right on to where they were and dwelt near them on the Ark of the Covenant in the old most holy place. He lived there to be close to them. That's who God is. Can you hear God's broken heart in these words? I've quoted these words before. These words stuck themselves into me, never to go away. When on a scene one time when I had gone to my old friend, Sim Weisenbaker. Sim, most of you remember Adam and Nina, they were here. Some people talk about, that's a silly name. There's nobody down there named Weisenbaker. They came up here. Adam was right here, and Nina, they're part of us. And he was a relative of Sim Weisenbaker, old Sim. He was in his late 70s when I knew him. He had a restaurant in Valdosta. I'd go down to the restaurant. It's not long after I became a Christian just to spend time with old Sim. And I walked in that restaurant one day. And he had his Bible open to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. Before I sat down, I could see. The old Sim was in tears. You could see tears. He stuck this scripture right in front of me. Does a maiden forget her jewelry? And this is the retort. God says, no, it would never happen. A young lady is so concerned about her jewelry, her ornaments, she wouldn't forget them. Or a bride, would she forget her wedding ornaments? And the implied answer is no. It would never happen. And then God says, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And old Sim looked up from that to me and said, Earl, that was me too, Earl. That was me. And I expect in this room, there's got to be more than me who could say, yeah, that was me too. Because then God, who loves so much, to know the pain of saying, people don't forget anything important to them. The little girl doesn't forget her wedding dress. But my people, whom I love, have forgotten me days without number. That's me. This is still who God is. He hasn't changed. He doesn't change. Today, in whatever unfolding of your life is going on today. You're walking down a road. He called it the road he had prepared, and they walk down bypaths and roads not built up. And we've done that. But the life we're walking down now is down a road, and God is there observing. He is real. He's not a theory. And he's reacting emotionally. He's reacting from the heart to whatever I'm saying to him by the life I am choosing today. I am walking that path, and so are you. And God is either brokenhearted at how I walk, or he's happy to see that he's not forgotten. He says to me, James chapter 4, just draw near to me, Earl, and I'll draw near to you. There's not a better offer in all of the scripture than that one, direct from God to you and me. Does what we remember matter to God? Yeah, it matters. Never ever doubt it. It matters. I want to read another scripture to you. This time I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 15, and read through several verses. And I want to pick up a thought in here that perhaps I can tell you that there were times in my life I never got that from this. I believe I get it now. Jesus is there. And Mark says, Jesus cautioned them. That ought to get our attention every time we would read that scripture. Jesus cautioned. And here's what he said. Watch out. Beware of. That ought to get our attention. Jesus is the speaker. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. It takes us right into that time that would have been the reality lifetime of those to whom he's speaking, the disciples who are following him here and there. And he says, beware. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had brought no bread. These guys were as dense as I have been through many times in my life. Maybe that denseness still is here among some of us. We didn't bring any bread. He's talking leaven. That has to do with bread. He must be criticized. We should have brought bread. They didn't get anything from this. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Why? It's a painful why. Why are you discussing the fact that you have... Do you not perceive or understand? Do you not, guys, not get it at all? Are your hearts hard? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Are you completely without the ability to have a thought beyond your own totally hard-hearted usualities? And do you not remember? And there's our word again. Jesus speaking after having cautioned them, saying, watch out. Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. Do you not even remember? When I broke 5 loaves for the 5,000 people, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up? And they said, 12. Okay. And how about when we did that for the 4,000 people? How many baskets? 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Do you not get anything? Do you not remember? Do you not remember who you're with here? What was it that they did not remember? They did not remember what he had shown them so many times. They had watched him do amazing things. Why? Just because he was going to be the best magician of the top line guy on the magician card. No. He was God with them. Don't you remember, God? He had no explanation for anything, including the multiplying of the bread, except that God is here. Don't you know that? What did they not remember? They didn't remember that they were clean. They were cleansed. He had cleansed them. He says in John chapter 15, already, John 15 verse 3, already you're clean because of the words I've spoken to you. You're clean. And don't let the leaven of the influence that's around you, permeated by the thinking of the Pharisees who were totally out to lunch about everything to do with God in those days and only wanted some kind of king to come and help them overthrow Rome. They didn't have a clue. And Herod was the bottom line on any kind of moral principle that would have been there, and it was influence plus all throughout the culture. Beware, guys, this will leaven you. You're clean. They didn't get any of that at all. On both counts. That's exactly what the leaven
of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod does. And that's what the leaven of the culture that's around us, this world, those aren't popular words with God in Scripture. This world. Satan is the god of this world, he told the Corinthians. And if we look around us, we see God of this world influencing, leavening everything that has to do with our lives, if it possibly can, and blocking out any real memory of the real God and replacing him with something else, anything but God. Replace him.
Just in a chapter or two later, chapter 9,
they are arguing about who's going to be the greatest. That would fit right in with the thinking of the Pharisees or the Herods.
The leaven around them was polluting their very spirits. The sweet gift of righteousness by faith, referenced so many times in Scripture, referenced beautifully in chapter 1 of Romans, chapter 3, righteousness by faith. The world does its level best to pollute, to leaven that, change it into total fake, phony, nothing, empty religion. It's trying to happen to you and to me about the same world they lived in, different in many ways, but the same world, same goals for Satan. Like the Jews, we have so much to remember God for. He never ceases seeking to be fondly remembered. And he's seeking that in your life today. I don't know how. Look at your life. Look at opportunities to be fondly remembered and have his whole way of thought, his whole idea of values become who you are, emanated there from you out in the world, hopefully to pull others whom he loves to the same place. He never ever ceases to hate being forgotten. Last big scripture. Out of time. I'm going to read quickly to you 2 Peter, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. God's divine power has given us everything. Isn't that a line right there by itself? God's divine power. Behind that power, it was his divine love. And behind that love was a need to give. And so he gave Jesus. He gave everything you have. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, through our knowing him. Not a collection of, I've collected up information, I got my bucket full of information about God, and now I'm all set. No, knowing him is the knowledge he's talking about there. Him who called us. There's a sermon in almost every word of all of this. He called, how'd he call me? He called me, well, this will even go on to say, he called me by his own glory and goodness. Now, what was that? We've celebrated that here today. That's the old scene from Calvary. His glory and goodness emanated a call that Jesus said in John chapter 8, 12, verse 32, draws us, calls us. He calls us to his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises. Why did he do that? So that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Some people read that and say, oh, mean anything to me. If it doesn't, you haven't given it enough thought and time to soak up what God's saying. We can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world, this world, caused by evil desires. The divine nature. I get to participate in that. How? It's not, we talk about it all the time and miss it. He invites, lets me, through his divine promises, have an open path to have his divine nature, to let him move inside me through his spirit and live here. Be here as real as he was above the Ark of the Covenant. He can be inside you and me, and his divine nature is there. And if it's there, I get to participate in that divine nature of the Spirit of Christ, Romans chapter 8. I can be there. He can be with me. And that nature is mine. And then he says, for this very reason, make every effort
Make an effort in your life for this, because you got this. This is such a glorious thing, such a wonderful gift. I've given you so much. I love you. Don't forget me for this very reason. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and add to your self-control perseverance, and to your perseverance godliness, to your godliness kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. I'm trying to make you into something that you weren't and aren't.
For if you possess these qualities in ever-increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective. They'll keep you from being leavened and ruined, and keep you from being one who just forgets me or unproductive in your knowledge. But if anyone does not have these, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten. He has been cleansed from his past sins. There it is again. That forgetting disease that ruins every human being that Satan can possibly infect with it. Only the blind, forgetful soul who lets Satan deceive, hold up something else in front instead of see the wonders of God and be led away. Only that soul could reject the incredible offer that God makes to you and me as His children. An offer that is for now and then extends forever to infinity, never to stop. That's why the love of God is as great as it is. It has no limit. The sin-infested world is speeding by us. And what it's saying, every way that it can, forget God. We've got something better for you. And it'll doom you, ruin you eternally. Don't let it happen. God is so lovable. Let's love Him back. Remember Him. Daily, all the time. Beginning at this moment in time. Come as we sing.